message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad you've joined us again today. And we do trust that our time together in God's Word will prove a real blessing and help to you as we look again into the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. And we're going to discuss something today that I found through the years is probably one of the three or four most interesting topics for people to discuss. There's several things you can talk about, and people get immediate interest, and one of them is prayer. And we're going to talk today about the mystery of prayer. Again today, we have Brother John here with us. I introduced him to you last week. He's here again today. John is, he sort of fills our Amen Charlie role here, Amen John role here, and he helps us here as we're preparing the program, and we appreciate him and just ask him to sit here today and lighten up the studio a little bit with that beautiful shirt he's got on again today. So we appreciate John's ministry, and he'll study along with us as we're going to look in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 26 and verse number 27, where the Apostle Paul describes the ministry of prayer in the dispensation of grace. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, he says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities." Now, in the book of Romans, you don't come to the Holy Spirit's ministry being described until you get to Romans chapter number 8. And we've talked about that in time past in our studies. You go seven chapters in the book of Romans, and the Holy Spirit's mentioned only one time, and that's in chapter 5, where the affirmation is given that we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. In chapter 8, he's mentioned 19 times. And there are two specific ministries that are attributed to him. That he is accomplishing in the lives of believers today. The reason that he's not mentioned until chapter 18 is that the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God. There is not this independent ministry of the Spirit of God floating around and so forth today. Jesus says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And the way God the Holy Spirit works in the lives of believers today is through the Word of God. He does not work apart from the Word that He wrote. That's how He communicates with you. That's how He talks to you. And that's how He works through your life and through my life, is that when we take the Word of God rightly divided and walk by faith in that Word. It is the Word of God that works in you that believes. It is the means and the method whereby God the Holy Spirit energizes our lives in the dispensation of grace for God's glory. If you want the life of Jesus Christ to control your life and to live through you, it will be done and it will be accomplished as you understand the love and grace of God as it is revealed in your Bible and especially the Word of God rightly divided, Paul's epistles. So that's how that's how the Holy Spirit works, and that's why it's only in chapter 8 that you begin to see His person show up. Because now we're talking about walking and living the life of the believer in time consistent with the power of the Spirit of God working through the identity that He's given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you come to verse 26, He begins to talk about the issue of prayer. The Spirit, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There are five divine operating assets which God gives to the believer in time so that you can have a walk in time. And these are assets that are designed practically to equip you and me so that we can live for God's glory. Maybe if I write them down on the board, it'll be easier for you to remember them. The first one is the written Word of God. The written Word of God, the Bible. The Bible. That's a divine operating asset that God has provided for you so that your life in time can be lived for God's glory. Then the second one is that He's given you the indwelling Holy Spirit. He's put God the Holy Spirit in you so that indwelling with your spirit, as verse 16 says, you have the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the main function and the main ministry of God the Holy Spirit today is to teach you that Word. In order to accomplish that, God has given you pastors and teachers of the Word of God for the authoritative communicating of the doctrine. You have pastors and teachers to teach you the Word of God. The Holy Spirit takes their ministry and teaches you the Word of God. Then you have the local church. The function of the local assembly is to be a classroom for the communicating of the doctrine of the Word of God, and not just a lecture hall. It's going to be that because the ministry of the pastor and teacher is conducted in the local church. But more than just a lecture hall and a classroom in the sense of a lecture room, it is that. But it's more than that because it's sort of like, you know, if you go to school and you study biology and you go to the classroom and you study the lecture about biology and then you go to the lab and you dissect the frog. Or you go to a language class and you're going to study Spanish or French or German, and you go and you go through the grammar in the class, and then you go to the language lab and learn the hands-on. The local assembly is a classroom for the authoritative communication of the doctrine by pastors and teachers, but it's also a living life science laboratory where you get down with other believers. You learn to weep with those that weep. Rejoice with those that rejoice. You learn to submerge your own will and your own desires and your own thinking. You learn to submerge those things down and make the work of the ministry the issue. I remember years ago, a dear brother, my pastor, he told me, he said, "Rick, the hardest thing you'll ever do is learn to get along with other believers in the work of the ministry in a local church." A lot of folks run from the local church. A lot of folks want to make a big denomination or have no church at all, no assembly at all, no place where you're assembling together to work, to learn, to the fellowship of the ministry together, because they want to be independent spirits. They want to do it their way. They want to have their way. I remember the first church I ever attended, even before I got saved. I was raised in this church. They had a split one time, and the split was over the color of the carpet and the drapes that were going to be on the wall behind the choir loft. And there were actually families in that church that got mad at one another and fought it out in a business meeting and wound up with a church split. Now, you know what that is? That's making your feelings and your attitudes and what you want and the way you think things ought to be run the issue rather than the work of the ministry. What the local assembly is designed for is to teach you to submerge your own interest out of the way and allow the work of the ministry to be the thing that's of supreme importance. I was just in a Bible conference just a few weeks ago. We were standing out in front of the meeting hall, and a little 9-year-old boy came up, and I was talking with him. I said, "Come on, let's go to church." And he said, "We don't go to church." And I said, "Well, okay. What do you do?" And he said, "We are the church." Okay, now I'm sufficiently rebuked. I agree. Okay. "What do you do?" He said, "We go to meetings." I said, "Okay, well then, let's go to meeting." So we went to the meeting together, had a Bible meeting. The local church, by that I mean the local assembly of believers in the local area where you are, you represent, you are the church, the body of Christ. We're talking about the building, we're talking about the people. That is an asset where you learn to work together. You rub together with one another and you get a little friction going. What do? You learn to live with one another. You learn to be forbearing with one another. You learn, don't ever run from the local assembly, because what you're running from is an asset that is valuable and is important in your life, as the written Word of God, as the indwelling Holy Spirit, as the pastor and teacher, that local assembly is designed for you and for your growth. It's the most important institution in your community because it takes the truth of God and passes it on from one generation to the next, to the next. And it's where you can learn spiritual maturity. You can learn to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice and bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's where you learn to grow up so that you aren't just always acting like a little baby, crying and pitching a fit to have your way, but you learn to live for something bigger than you are. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ and the work of the ministry that He gives you in a community to get that word out into the area where you are, just like where you're watching this television program today. There are people in your community right here that want you, they love you and are concerned about you knowing truth. And that's why we produce this program and are on your television today. That's what the local, that's an asset. But there's one more. And this fifth asset is designed to take those first four assets and to make them work. And without this fifth asset, none of these first four will ever fully function in your life. And that fifth asset is what we call Pauline prayer. And by Pauline prayer, I'm talking about prayer as it works today in the dispensation of grace. Those five divine operating assets are designed so that, and are given to you as a believer, so that you can get out of your position and identity in Christ what God has put in it for you. You are His workmanship. By grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. God Almighty has some works, some things for the church, the body of Christ, to accomplish. There is a reason that He's forming the body of Christ. When you got saved, He put you into the church, the body of Christ. He has something for you to do in that body, as a member of that body. These assets are given to you. The Word of God to intelligize you and teach you. The Holy Spirit to illuminate that word, the pastor and teacher to help you to understand what that word of God says, the local assembly to give you the context, these brothers and give you leadership in the work of the ministry that God has for you. But it's this issue of prayer. Your own personal communication and relationship with God, you just talking to your Lord. It's this issue. And prayer is designed primarily to help you and allow you to think through the doctrine. Allow the Spirit, you see, you don't know how. He's what He says. We know not. We don't know how to pray as we ought. He doesn't mean we don't know how to pray. We do know how to pray. The Word of God teaches us. He says that the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we ought. We don't know how God can best be glorified in any given situation in our life. So we think through the circumstances of our life on the basis of the doctrine. That allows God the Holy Spirit to illuminate our understanding and take that understanding that we gain through the leadership and go out and work it out in the assembly to go do the work of the ministry. Now the basic fallacy and the reason prayer is a problem for so many people today. The basic fallacy in modern-day prayer preaching and prayer practice is really a dispensational problem. You see, folks go back into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, for example, Matthew chapter 21, and claim promises in the Word of God that God never gave them. In Matthew chapter 21, for example, verse number 22, Jesus tells His disciples, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Did you ever ask anything of God in prayer, believing, and not get it? Well, you know you did. I made this statement just the other day before a congregation of people. A lady whom I'd never seen before came up to me after the meeting. And she said, "You know, Pastor, what you said about that verse is exactly what happened to me. I had a little baby, a little child, a couple of 3 years old, and it got sick. And my husband and I and my other children, we went before God and we prayed and we asked God to spare our little child, our little baby. Said he was the apple of our eye and we loved him. And we asked God to deliver him. And we took that verse, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing. And preacher, we believe God. We knew God could do it because he's done it in the past. And we believed that he'd do it for us. But he didn't. And our wee little tot died and is in heaven today. And our hearts broke. And she said, I don't go to church anymore. And my husband turned his back on the things of God. And my kids have nothing to do with the things of God because God disappointed us and God doesn't keep his word. You know what that is? That's a problem. That's a heartache. Do you know why that's a heartache? That's a heartache and a burden because some preacher came along sometime and told that lady something that wasn't true. He came along and quoted that verse out of Matthew 21, 22 and says, if you really believe God, God will do it for you. And God never told that lady that he'd do that. You go to Matthew chapter 10 and you see what Jesus Christ told his disciples. He said, go not into the way of the Gentile. In any city of the Samaritans enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach saying, this stuff's not for the Gentiles. This stuff's for Israel. That's a promise God made to Israel. And he made it exclusively to the nation Israel. Matthew 15, 24, Jesus says to his disciples, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. How dare you? How dare I? Go into the book of Matthew and pull a promise that God gave the nation Israel out of there and go try to claim it as my own and make like it belongs to me and then get mad at God when it doesn't come to pass. That's the height of presumption. That's spiritual larceny. That's wrong. You see, the basic reason that people have a difficult time with prayer today is because they're reading the wrong prayer letters. They're claiming promises that God never gave them, and when they don't come to pass, it's a burden to them, and well, it should be. Now, you know what people do? They say, well, it isn't God's fault, it must be mine. And then they think up all these theological gimmicks to excuse why their prayers don't come to pass, and I appreciate people trying to look out for God. But he doesn't need you making excuses for him. People say, well, you didn't get what you asked for because there's sin in your life. My friend, if you had to get sin out of your life in order to get God to answer your prayer, you would never even smell a blessing coming down the road, much less ever receive one. Not you. That's silly. I mean, God Almighty put you in His Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's completely and totally forgiven you all of your sins, all of your trespasses. And if God were dealing with you on the basis of whether there's sin in your life or not, you'd be in a mess. But God Almighty has already forgiven you all of your trespasses. Why? Because you're in Christ. There's never any barrier between you and God. Never. Because Jesus Christ, God already dealt with your sins in the person of His Son. Somebody says, well, God said, maybe. I didn't know what that verse said. It didn't say any maybe in that verse. Somebody says, well, you know, it took Daniel a while to get answers to prayer back in Daniel 10. It took 21 days. Yeah, but God isn't answering prayer by Pony Express through the angelic creation today. God lives inside of you. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You see, the problem isn't all these theological gimmicks that people make up. The problem is claiming the wrong prayer promises. That's how important it is to learn to rightly divide this book. Now, if you go back to Romans chapter 8, you'll see that the Apostle Paul in Romans 8 identifies clearly for you the way prayer works today and why it's a mystery. Prayer is not a mystery because we don't know how it works. And it's not a mystery because we pray and don't get the answers. Folks, the reason you claim those promises back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or over in James 5 about the prayer of sick, healing people and so forth and raising them up, the reason you claim those promises and they don't work and they don't come to pass is not really a mystery. That's clear in the Word of God. It's because you're claiming things that don't belong to you, and you're trying to make God do something that He isn't going to do. There's no mystery in unanswered prayer. Folks, the issue in that is real clear. There's no mystery about it, no secret about it. The answer is you're just claiming verses of Scripture that don't apply to you. God's raised up another apostle with another program, with another dispensation, with another method for prayer to work under. We're not Israel. We're not under Israel's kingdom program. And you'll find that all those promises that people are quoting, whether they're in the Old Testament or in the Gospels or in Hebrews to Revelation, those promises have to do with a kingdom nation and a kingdom program and God's intervention into this earth through and for the nation Israel. But God does have a prayer program for the body of Christ. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, that's the real mystery of prayer. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. See, the real mystery of prayer isn't why we don't get our prayers answered, because we understand when you claim the wrong promises and you claim promises that don't belong to you, those things aren't going to be honored anyway. You aren't going to force God into doing something He isn't doing. The real mystery of prayer is when Paul says, we don't know what to pray for as well. We don't know how God can best be glorified in any given situation in our lives. So we have a helper. He says, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You see, we don't know how God can best be glorified in our life, but God, the Holy Spirit, indwells us. And we're going to be studying this the next couple of weeks about how prayer works in our lives today. We don't have the time left in the program today to do that. But let me just say it to you like this. God, the Holy Spirit, comes along and helps. He doesn't do it for you. He works with you as you pray. And He makes intercession for us. That when He says He makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, He's talking about God, the Holy Spirit, has the ability to penetrate right down to the most basic levels of our real needs. Areas that sometimes we can't even articulate properly ourselves. And while we, by our nature, don't know how to pray, what to pray for as we ought, doesn't mean we don't know how prayer works. We'll see in the next couple of weeks exactly how it works. It means that we don't know exactly how to take prayer and apply it to the details of our life, so the Holy Spirit comes along. We don't know how God can best be glorified in a given situation, so God, the Holy Spirit, comes and works with our prayers. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, he says, I'll pray with the understanding also. You see, what God does with our prayer life is we're to pray in the Spirit. Now, that's not talking about tongues talking or some kind of ecstatic trance. That's like walk in the Spirit. It's like be filled with the Spirit. To pray in the Spirit means to pray in line with what God the Holy Spirit is doing today. What happens? We take the Word of God and we store it up into our soul. We store it up in our inner man. We use these divine operating assets. We take God's Word and under the illuminating teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit that is produced in us through the pastors and teachers and our own personal intake of Bible doctrine, working along with the saints, we take prayer has to do with sitting down with and thinking through the details of our life in light of what we learn under the ministry of these areas here. And you see how it's going to move you? From this internal intake of the Word of God to the instruction that comes from the leaders in the assembly to the application of the doctrine to the details of life among the brethren. See that? As we do that, then we begin to understand what God's Word, His Spirit, works through the doctrine in our inner man to work out through us. And we literally begin to think through the details of our life in light of the doctrine and how to apply the truth in the doctrine. You see, prayer is simply talking, in the most basic level, is talking to the Lord. It's communicating with Him. It's thinking over what He's told you. You know, somebody said that He gave us two ears and one mouth. That's because we're to listen twice as much as we're to talk. As we take in the Word of God, we then contemplate that Word. We think about that Word. We have our life to live, and we go out and prayerfully, we go out and before the Lord think about how to apply our new identity in Christ to the details of life. Lord, would you have me to handle this? You know what that does? That activates the doctrine. It stirs up the doctrine. It gets the doctrine. I don't know, so I have to rely on God's Spirit to teach me through the doctrine resident in my soul, through the written Word of God, through the godly counsel of pastors and teachers, through the working of the body of Christ around me. I have to learn to pray with the Spirit's help. It doesn't have to do with me praying and Him adjusting my words as they go up. It has to do with the Word of God adjusting my conscience internally. We're going to study more about the mechanics of how this works. Let me say to you again. Folks, the mystery of prayer is not why some prayer promises don't work in your life that God didn't give you to start with. Rightly divide the Word and understand where your truth is. Romans to Philemon. Quit trying to claim things God never gave you. The mystery of prayer simply is that we don't know how to pray as we ought, but God helps us through the Word of God rightly divided to live for His glory. Till next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, The Mystery of Prayer. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 283. That's tape offer number 283. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we'll be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We'll help you send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we next time for another Message of Grace.